This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Good to have you. St. Louis beat the Phillies 7-1 off game for Wheeler as St. Louis wins that series, and the Twins took two out of three against Baltimore. They won 7-5. Tampa trying to go 9-0 on the road trip. They lead the A's 7-2 in the seventh. 11.5 the in play, minus 120. Horrible performance by Kelly today. 6-1 Rockies in the fifth. 11.5 the total in that game. Also in play, Giants lead the Astros 1-0 in the fifth. 5.5 the in play total, minus 140 to the under. And the Brewers, trying to avoid the sweep, lead the Padres and Robbie Ray. That is 2-1 in the fourth inning. And we'll get to the night slate coming up in MLB and a great article up on what to expect, top storylines the rest of the season in Major League Baseball. Moose has a pick coming up at Saratoga we'll get to in a little bit. Surprises and disappointments in the NFL and a ton of candidates, and it's great that the NFL's back and we have six games tomorrow. I'm surprised at some of these numbers and the disrespect with a couple of teams. Number one, the Denver Broncos. They are the third choice to win the West at plus 250 in some spots behind the Chargers and the Chiefs. Should have gone to the Super Bowl last year. I think they beat the Patriots with Knicks. It's a big year for Knicks, although he's continued to improve every year, and they have a solid record with him the last 2 years and made the playoffs in both years. You are going to point to the luck factor, which I understand, and their record in close games, and then the comebacks. But to me, a big takeaway is they played down to their level of competition. Should have lost to the Jets, that horrible performance in the London game, that bad performance on Sunday night against Washington when they should have lost, but they were at their best when they played the top teams. That's what I like about Denver, and I also trust Peyton and the coaching staff, and I love Webb, the new offensive coordinator who everyone's raved about, taking over as well as OC to help out. So I think Denver, while it's a brutal schedule, but still you don't know about Kansas City and how bad they were last season. The question marks, there's a lot to like about the Chargers, but they've been had a tough break with the injuries over the years. I love Herbert, but still 0-3 career in the playoffs. Horrible performance against the Patriots last year as well. I'm shocked at the price with Denver to win the division and feel they're being slept on, and there's too much Charger love and Kansas City love. Minnesota's the longest shot to win the division in the North. 5-1, and the win total's only 8.5. Repeating a lot of the points I'm sure you've heard, but still, when you get an upgrade like that at the quarterback position, and they won 9 games last year with a bad quarterback play, love Flores, love O'Connell, and it's a huge make-or-breaker year for Murray as well, and he has plenty of weapons, and I think with that defense, if they stay healthy, they're going to go over their win total and can compete with Detroit to win that division. And I'm with you as this mark as well with Atlanta. 4-1. Tua's going to start tomorrow. He still has been named the starting quarterback as Penix hasn't been cleared for 11-on-11 work. The win total is 6.5.
Yeah.
And a huge upgraded coach and an upgraded quarterback, I think, if Tua can stay healthy. But to be 6.5 and 4-1 to win the division, and everyone's drinking the Saints Kool-Aid after the great run that they had to close the year. Plenty of concerns about Tampa. Don't like Young in Carolina. Three-way tie for the division where they all finished 8-9 to end the season. I cannot believe the Falcons' win total is 6.5.
Yeah, and could I, you know, I think there's kind of through a couple of those storylines, whether it be the AFC West or whether it be the NFC South, I think the love falls with the quarterback play. Like, you look at Denver and where, and I'll disagree with you, right, in terms of the disrespect for the Denver Broncos, but I think the concern there is Bo Nix, mm-hmm. right? And what version of Bo Nix are you going to get in 2026? You mentioned in terms of the schedule as well, and maybe the Denver Broncos a year ago missed the window. And there are people, Paulie, that can't help themselves. You know, they just fall in love with Justin Herbert, right? I mean, they just do. And Justin Herbert is yet to win that big game, have yeah. that big moment, all of those things, even though he looks like he's basically cut from a piece of granite. And he looks like, you know, everything you want in an NFL quarterback. And then obviously
the overwhelming, resounding love for Patrick Mahomes based on what he has done. I think Atlanta's getting the shade they are getting in the NFC South, and I don't disagree with you. I think they deserve a lot more love because I think it's a monumental upgrade going from Raheem Morris to Kevin Stefanski, even though the Browns fans couldn't wait to get rid of him out there in Cleveland. The concern there is the quarterback play. What are they going to get there? You know that they have talent on the offensive line, talent at the skill positions. Bijan Robinson might be the best, arguably the best running back in the National Football League. Just got rewarded with that contract extension down in Atlanta. I think coaching plays. I agree with you, Paulie. And I think they're going to get enough at the quarterback position. And you need to tell me who exactly scares you. I mean, Tampa Bay, I mean, flamed out down the stretch a year ago. Carolina, are they all of a sudden going to find it again? And then you look at the New Orleans Saints, and I like Tyler Shuck, and I'm happy that Chris Olave overcame the concussions and got paid down there in New Orleans with the Saints. But you mean to tell me now that you're all of a sudden a Saints believer? And you look at that win total sitting there at 6.5. What would lead you to believe that the Atlanta Falcons, with now better coaching, if they're able to get competent quarterback play, can't get themselves to 7, 8, 9 wins on the season? I think that's well within the realm of possibility. To me, the overly play there is the Atlanta Falcons on the over, and I would not be all that surprised if down the stretch of the season, last month of the year, Paulie, they're in contention to win that division.
Yep, and this is correlated as well, a disappointment that I have. I'm down on the Packers, but also down on the Bears. So up on Minnesota, up on Detroit, down on Green Bay, and down on Chicago. Listen to this. Chicago was plus 22 in the turnover differential last year. They had 33 takeaways, and still they would have missed the playoffs if they didn't set an NFL record for wins in the final 2 minutes when trailing. And how every break seemingly went their way, and Dart had left with the injury, and the Giants blew that game in Chicago. And it was a great story, and I love him, and I love Ben Johnson and Williams, and I hope they both do well. And these people were driving me nuts saying Williams was a bust and he can't play because he proved them wrong last year. But this is not going to continue. You can't sustain this. 33 takeaways plus 22 turnover differential, a more difficult schedule. And, oh, by the injuries will not stop with all the cluster injuries on the defense already and a big acquisition. Bryant's already out 4 to 6 months. So Bears go under their win total, and I think they missed the playoffs. A disappointment. How about Ben Johnson today? That, okay, we want to win the Super Bowl. Well, sure, that's great. That's what 31 other teams are saying too. But it's one thing to say we're going to win a Super Bowl. But how about this? I want to have the highest scoring offense ever. The 2013 Broncos. Okay, you got to average 38 points a game. I want shutouts. I want blowouts. I want total domination. What I want this year. I also... He was asked, the New England Patriots set the record 21 consecutive wins from 03 and 04. Why can't we do that? And why not an undefeated season? I mean, this guy went crazy in this interview.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he is a very, very confident man. And you knew that when he was in Detroit, even more so now coming off a successful year one in Chicago with the Bears. But I mean, Paul, you hit upon it. It's great to set expectations. You're not wrong. Everybody, every coach. I mean, even Aaron Glenn is talking about the fact that Geno Smith could take the Jets to the promised land. So not all that surprising. He's talking about the Super Bowl, but being historically great. And I'm with you. I felt good for Caleb Williams. I thought there were so many people a year ago that were just tearing him apart. He stinks. He's not going to be this. He's not going to be that. And, you know, the Iceman proved a lot of people wrong a year ago. But what the Bears did last year defensively in terms of the takeaways, that's not repeatable.
No.
I mean, it just isn't. To think that you're going to get that many favorable bounces to come your way. Now, you might say to yourself, well, there's going to be an improvement on the offense, which I think there conceivably could be, and Caleb Williams is going to be more consistent. But then you throw in the fact of their schedule, as we're seeing right now, their schedule is significantly more difficult than it was a year ago. So Ben Johnson can have goals. It's great to have goals. It's great to have aspirations. It's great to want a lot of things in life and to be historically great. Let's see if the Chicago Bears can do what Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos did, which was an offense that was unbelievable until they weren't.
All great points. And your surprises and the disappointments coming up later. How about let's go to Saratoga. How about a pick with the ponies?
Yeah, coming up in the ninth race up at Saratoga. I'm a big ponies guy, Paulie. So great. I love when the spa opens up. It's great. So we're about 35, 36 minutes away from post time. Ninth race. It's going to be on the turf, 71,000 a mile, inner turf course. You're going to love this horse and his name. The horse's name is Gum. That's it. Just okay. Gum. the five horse. He's 9-2 on the morning line. If you look at it, Grand Motion, one of his goes riders is the Hall of Famer, John Velasquez. You watch his last two races, one at Saratoga, ran really well to finish third, two races back at Laurel, just got nosed out at the finish line to finish second. I think he's going to get a favorable pace scenario in front of him to be able to run into. There's going to be a Chad Brown horse that's a morning line favorite in the race that's going to take a ton of beating. Understand it. I think the value is there. So in the ninth race today at Saratoga, give me the number five, Gum.
All right. Good luck. Circus Survivor documentary heating up. Tonight's episode is called Survivor Mode. Week 10 arrives like a wrecking ball. Massive wave of eliminations tears through the field, and the players who thought they'd figure it out suddenly don't. Thanksgiving's on the horizon, and the wrong call won't just cost the contestants a game. It'll cost them everything. Almost $19 million on the line. Watch the episode tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. If you want to catch up, all episodes are on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live and catch up tonight with this episode and all the carnage. And the last episode was fantastic as well. Going to be dynamite. Ben Johnson, take it easy. I mean, that's incredible, right? Super Bowl, points record, undefeated, want to win 22 in a row consecutive, break the Patriots record. I want shutouts. I want that. That's just, you can't do it.
Let me ask you, Paulie, what's more jarring? Will Levis telling everybody he's a top 32 quarterback in the NFL, or Ben Johnson and his proclamations he made for the Chicago Bears?
Ben Johnson, because you're coming off an 11-6 season. It's not like you were 15-2. It's got to be Ben Johnson. Right? So, I mean, Levis is a lunatic. The kid puts mayonnaise on everything. So I could see why he would say that as well. The maestro in studio for a double shot coming up next. You cannot be serious. And also the expectations for Circus Survivor and some NFL futures coming up on Follow the Money, Sirius XM Channel 158.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Time for the maestro, Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Palm with us, VP of Circa, the D and the Golden Gate. Lot to get to coming up. How you been, my friend? Good to see you. Moose is here as well. He can hear you.
There's Mark. I love Mark.
What's up, Mike?
Mark's great.
What's going on?
We can talk hockey all the time with Mark. He's the best. yeah, good. Everything's good. You see what shirt I wore today, Paul? Fitz Poker Room shirt.
Nice.
Derek signed the contract with the WPT today, so it's official.
No.
We will host a festival of poker in May of 2027 and May of 2028, right in the Galaxy Ballroom on the third floor.
Get out of here.
Poker comes to Circa.
All right.
You excited?
Why'd you change his mind on that?
Well, he's fearful there'll be no baseball next summer.
Okay.
He said, we got to have some programming.
Okay. Well done. That's right. So big. And you got the Arizona news as well?
Arizona, we're going to be mobile in January.
Okay.
Several, I don't want to mention names, but several tribal casinos have said, would you be interested in building a big sports book down here? So we're looking at those opportunities as well. So Phoenix, the fifth biggest city in the country, Paul. So
good job.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We're in.
Okay. So Derek doesn't want to have anything to do with it when you bring up the numbers and he gets freaked out. Love My Baxter threw out 25,000. Your record pace, what, 60% of what I had of last year?
80, Paul.
It's 80 now?
As of today, with 32 days left. Last year, we had 4,415. Going into today, 8,175. 85% ahead of pace.
Oh, my God.
Almost doubling.
So what do you think?
Oh, we're going to blow through 25, aren't we?
You're going to blow through it?
I believe we'll end up... I said 22.5 before we started this.
Okay.
I have to adjust. I got an adjusted number, 28.5. That's my adjusted number.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Mike, are you surprised at how the contests have exploded?
Not really, because it's very brilliantly designed. And it's not that like Derek created it. He played it at home in the Midwest and brought it here. But the FOMO is unbelievable when you get knocked out. You can't wait till August, September comes next year so you can get back in. Mark, it's always a bad beat. Think of all the people that got knocked out when the idiot running back for the Cardinals fumbled the ball crossing the goal line and then million to one shot. I mean, think of that. Think of the ridiculous beats you take during the course of it.
Even
all the people that got knocked out on Thanksgiving, all four favorites fail on Thanksgiving. Yep. It can't happen again, can it? So everybody comes back the next year. And, oh, by the way, they buy more entries than they had this year. So it's designed to explode.
Yeah. It's just nothing can slow down sports and sports betting, it seems.
People Lakers, seem to enjoy it. They seem to enjoy it.
Lakers go for $12.5 billion.
Yeah, well,
these card collecting. Hey, I'll give you $6 million for your Ohtani card. Okay, I'll give you 12. Over the top, Kevin O'Leary. Get him in studio when he's here, please. And then you just see what's going on here with the contest, how it keeps growing.
Yeah, how about we pool some money, we buy a WNBA franchise? I mean, they're starting two or three. It's fail-proof. You can't lose money. The NBA will cover your losses. Right. Meanwhile, they're drawing 18,000 every game in Golden State. Uh-huh. The L.A. last night, 17,000 for two terrible teams. It's just printing money.
Yeah. Wow. This is, if we get 28,000, that would be nuts. What about Circa Millions?
Circa Millions, last year we were at 14.37. This year 17.18. So they're 20% above. We should finally get to the 6 million. You can't fail four times, can you? I mean, if we maintain the pace, we'd be well close to seven. So
okay, Grandissimo.
Last year at this time we had 11. We're at 18. Big boom during Bet Bash last week. We went from 6 to 18 last week. So hopefully we can get to 100 there and have a $10 million prize pool.
What's your prediction with that one?
I said we would get to. That's what it would be, that we would get a little above 10 million. So I hope we can get there.
Okay, beautiful. What do you have as far as a play in the WNBA?
One play. I have one play. I didn't love a lot. I bet the Chicago Sky on this road trip, team total under 79.5 against the best defense. This Valkyrie is the only team that goes out and plays defense for 40 minutes every night. I was stunned. You know, it was a national TV game, so I watched the whole game in Seattle the other night. The Sky are so stagnant on offense. And Cardoza, she's like a black hole when she gets the ball, isn't she? Well, she doesn't create anything.
Yeah.
I think they're very challenged. And so against the best defense, I didn't know. I didn't want to play a game total in case it's a rout. So let's play the team total under here.
Okay.
Mike, when you look at the WNBA on the whole, you know, and Paulie and I were talking a little bit earlier on the show. I mean, the product on the court is so great. Unfortunately, we get distracted by all these all these stories away from the court.
Well, Mark, people will dispute that, what you said. And I agree with what you said. I think the product is good with women playing against women. It's a competitive high-end product. You can't compare it to men. You can't say, well, look at how they played because of men. I mean, that's a false argument. Just don't watch it. If you want to compare that, you could always say that. But here's the problem. I find it, and I didn't tackle this in You Cannot Be Serious this week. I left it alone. I don't want to do every week on the WNBA, but you could do the whole three topics again.
Stephanie White, plenty of material, all kind of transgender nonsense.
But the thing is, the league has always been about causes because it's a woman's league, it's a lesbian league, it's a black league. All those things are facts, right? And so the league has been about causes for many years. It's got eyes on it. It has a chance to be successful and make money now. So it's hard for them to get away from the root. But to me, the disingenuous media people, right, who sit there and say, we've got to get back to the basketball. Who do you think drove all these narratives to give it popularity? I mean, the media people that covered the league drove these narratives too. I will say Lobo's tried to stay away from that. And her and Russillo do a really good job. But that's one broadcast team out of many that they have there. But you can't rise your popularity off of all these things that are non-basketball related and then say, why can't we just concentrate on the basketball? It's disingenuous, the argument. But if people sat and watched, I think it's a good product. My wife, kids, never watched the WNBA. Look, we're part of that. My family's part of that. Caitlin brought us to the league, right? I followed college basketball. I followed the WNBA at the beginning. But you know, when Maya Moore retired, I sort of got away from it. And I came back because of Caitlin. I tell you, Mark, my wife and my two daughters, all they do is they program around how are we going to plan our evening tomorrow based on what games are on TV. They watch every game, not just the Fever
That's
games.
Awesome.
My daughter loves the Aces. Asia's her favorite player. She has all of Asia's shoes. She went to school her first day in the pink Asia shoes, right? But they don't. They watch every game. They watch all of them. I don't care if it's Toronto and Portland because it is a good product. It's an entertaining product if you really sit there and look at it. And I've coached sports, girls' sports, junior high, high school. Now I coach my stepdaughter in third, fourth, and fifth. I do think it's a good product.
Yeah, but there was a great article today in Sports Illustrated, and he didn't write it, but Pat Forty with Sports Illustrated is on the show coming up in half an hour, but he retweeted it, where the league's got to be careful because it's becoming a caricature.
I want to say this, too, because, Paul, somebody, you know, people always say, oh, when you talk about the WNBA, we tune out. Why does VSiN talk about it too much? In betting handle, it's the fastest growing segment we have here in the last 3 years. Used to be, UFC and those fighting arts. Now it's the WNBA. 3 years ago, we had one guy in the whole risk room that wanted to book it. Now there's six different guys that book it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And betting. Our five biggest bettors, if you went back last year in 2025, in terms of the five guys that had the biggest handle at Circus Sports, they all bet WNBA. They all bet, and they bet it at high limits. So, I mean, you can't deny it and say, oh, we don't like it. It's not as good as men's basketball. It's a significant part of the sports betting landscape as well.
It's what Mitch said before the season started. Sorry, Moose. Mitch said before the season that, like, 10 people reached out to him before the season and said the smartest move I made was I got off baseball and got on to following the WNBA.
Baseball's tough to beat. You and I both know that.
I know, that's what
it's
I'm
really
saying.
Are so many scheduling spots in this WNBA that are ridiculous, right?
You could have got
ahead of the Aces. The Aces were a 1.5-point dog Sunday off the most brutal road trip I've seen, where they had to go to Atlanta and then to Indiana on Thursday and then to Minnesota on Saturday, and then the back-to-back with a day game in New York. It was 1.5.
Yep.
You didn't think she was going to rest some people? Of course, she rested all of her starting three, and the line went from 1.5 to 12. You could have got
13,
ahead.
The
scheduling spots are ridiculous, and I think there's betting opportunities because of the scheduling spots.
Mike, is it disputable the impact that Clark has had in terms of interest and handle when you're looking at the WNBA and bringing more people into it?
No, I don't think you can dispute that. But you can also look at, I thought maybe college women would fall off once she left. It really hasn't. It's maintained that level of popularity that it grew to with her. Now, the ratings aren't nearly as high as the game she played on and when they got the tournament or the Big Ten championship games. But it didn't fall off the cliff. Like, it didn't rise and then go back to the level. So, you know, when people get their eyes on something and they like it, they tend to stay with it. But it definitely was her. And Angel Reese can say all she wants. It was two people and it was our rivalry. But the new eyes on the league came from her, whether you like that or you don't like that.
You like anything on the MLB card?
I didn't like it. I have to tell you this, though, in listening. This disease in Minnesota where their pitchers give up, or I talked about this.
Okay.
Their pitchers now, 11 straight games, if you throw out the Kramer starts, because he hasn't got affected yet. He just came on the team, Dean Kramer. 11 straight starts, the Twins pitchers have given up a run in the first inning. You can find with your book, bet the opposing team to score like Baltimore today, but just betting the Yerfies, you're winning every day.
Is that
right? And nobody talks about it. None of their pitchers can get through a first inning
it's
without giving up.
It's 11 in a row, no 11, Kramer.
No Kramer. Throw out the two Kramer because he hasn't fallen into whatever prep they do that they have to give up a run in the first every day.
Maybe they got a clean
house.
They'll
infect him at some point.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's no hitting philosophy. The pitching's terrible. Shelton's an idiot. And yet this team is still in a wild card race. They must have some talent.
Oh, that team. No one wants it. Detroit says we'll take it, right? You cannot be serious coming up next. My interest has peaked. It's got to be good. He's talking about swimming. That's coming up on Follow the Money.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, here we go. An eclectic mix, as always. Another award-winning edition of You Cannot Be Serious. Here we go.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You know, Monday night, Paul, I bet a first 5-under after the first inning in Toronto. Sox in Toronto. The Sox are in this lull. Sonny Gray's pitching. Tyone got through the first. I bet an under 3.5 first five. We got there 1-0 Toronto. I even watched the sixth inning. Now I got to go somewhere. I'm in the car. I'm in the car not 10 minutes. And I had three different folks texting me, did you see what just happened in Toronto? And as they're talking about. So we'll go back to the situation. First and third, Red Sox are batting in the top of the seventh. One out. Anthony Siegler's on third. Nick Sogard's on first. Rafael is at the plate. Simeon Woods Richardson, weak in the knees, I call him. Not SWV, but SWR. First pitch, Rafael hits a shallow fly ball, medium fly ball to center. Now, there's a great view from behind home plate of a stationary camera that was broadcasting this game. The scoreboard said two outs before the pitch was thrown. While the ball was in the air, the scoreboard operator changed it back to one out and then two outs when he caught it. But both Red Sox runners took off like there were two outs. So Siegler from third crosses home and heads to the dugout. Sogard rounds second and is heading to third, right? They thought there were two outs. Ball comes in from center to second. They throw it over to Vlad Guerrero, who steps on first for the force out of Sogard, which is the third out. Now, my friends are telling me on the text, they're in New York. They're going to New York. They've been in New York 10 minutes trying to get a ruling. I said, what happened next? Toronto runs off the field. Everybody's in their dugouts. And the umpires go over and they're talking to the Toronto manager, Schneider, another Mensa member. And they're explaining to him. I said right away what was going to happen. I said the run from third scores. Everyone is always assumed to have tagged up unless you appeal, right? And they didn't, and they left the field. And so one of my friends said, so if they had, there was no way once they went to first, the run had to score. No, there is a provision in the Major League rulebook about a fourth out. As long as the defense stays on the field, they could then throw over to third and appeal correctly. The runner left early from third, and it's effectively a fourth out, but he erases the run. It didn't. They called New York. Chris Guccione was the crew chief. What a bungling of it. This is like Cleet Blakeman trying to explain a ruling. Boy, was this a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, it's a timing play. It's this, it's that. Yeah. At the end of the day, the run scores. It's now 2-1. Why did he have to announce the score? I don't know. But I say shame on the Blue Jays for not knowing the rules. You're paying somebody to tell you if you should challenge something. Shouldn't you have a rules expert in the box as well that tells you what to do in that situation? Toronto Blue Jays!
You cannot be serious!
This is the first time we went to swimming since no hyperbole with the Polish swimming team in the Olympics.
I think you're right.
But this swimming got interesting because there were layers to this. USA Swimming has announced that they have suspended the CFO, Corey Hilliard, and have denied him any access to data or their financial system. Well, what's behind this story? Well, it turns out Hilliard, who was hired in December, previously was an official in the athletic department at the University of Colorado and oversaw the swimming's Nike Elite program. During the time when he held this position, he, quote, stole $9,500 in benefits that he used for himself and was, in fact, arrested on this charge. What's beyond unbelievable here is that USA Swimming and their vetting of the position to hire a new CFO, they said, well, in our background check and in the vetting process, we didn't uncover this arrest. Are you kidding me? You know how many people we hire here, Paul? We have 3,000 employees. Like, we're hiring 15 people a week. That's just normal turnover. Everywhere they've lived, you go out. We have a service that does this. It does a background check. They check court records and arrest records in every county a person's ever lived in. Because some crimes you're not going to hire them for, right? Fraud crimes, crimes against, you know, small children or dogs, I would say. You would not hire people that you would want working for you. But USA Swimming? USA Swimming did not find this out and hired this CFO. Wait, it gets better. There was a lady they hired to be their CEO. She was the former AD at Delaware and a renowned swimmer at Michigan, Chrissy Rawak. She had to resign 9 days after being hired after they found out she was the subject of an abuse complaint at Safe Sports, which is an organization where athletes can go and report abuse. Now, I don't know. I don't want to say she was guilty of it. But again, in their vetting process, they didn't find this out, and they hired somebody and then had to go back and have the person resign or put him on leave. USA Swimming.
You cannot be serious.
And now, finally, Paul, we're going to go to a golf story.
I don't know. Oh, it's
the hole-in-one
story. I forgot to mention. Yes.
Paul, the hole-in-one story. I don't know if this is worse than the guy, the basketball coach that was running broads from San. I mean, this what a despicable character this guy is. Did you
Zach,
guys
read? Is it Zach Holland?
An amateur golfer, Zach Holland. An amateur golfer has been forced to resign from his membership at a St. Louis area club after admitting to a scam where he faked making a hole-in-one. Zach Holland's the guy, former college player. And is reportedly a 2 handicap, is thrown out of the Winghaven Country Club. The story is ridiculous as to what he did, okay? So, he completed the first 3 holes with his group, all right?
I'm before, so glad you're mentioning
before,
this.
Yeah. The story of his concocted scheme, the malice.
Yes.
He told his playing partners he needed to take a personal phone call, allegedly regarding his mortally ill grandmother while they were going to play the fourth hole. He said in order to keep up with the pace of play, he would tee off without them and go ahead and complete the hole and meet them on the green. When he reunited with the group, Holland said his partners that he had thinned his tee shot and did not see where the ball ended up. The group then discovered the ball was in the cup and assumed that Holland had made a hole-in-one and celebrated, contacting the superintendent. Look at the guy with the trophy. He should be arrested for grand larceny, this guy. He said, I made a mistake. It was a lapse of judgment. He plotted the whole thing out. You know what he's concerned about, though? He's concerned about threats to his family. Is this the biggest cop-out now? Everybody, they're threatening my family. They're threatening my... Put this guy in jail. Let his family fend for themselves. Zach Holland.
You cannot be serious.
Yeah, baby. Good.
What a joke.
A minus. Strong.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks.
Could have done without the swimming. But this was... You know who?
The vetting, though. I'm taking you behind the scenes of the vetting process, the background checks.
I read this. This came down when we were on the air. I'm talking about with Moose, and I forgot about it. I'm like, this is the craziest thing. You know, OJ cheated at golf, too.
No, I didn't.
Big cheater at golf.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, how about an NFL future?
Listen. I know you're loath to when people bet on the teams from Minnesota. But this has got to be the last stand for O'Connell this year, right?
Yeah.
They finished 9-8. And oh, by the way, how dumb were they to win their last three games so they don't they'd have this Lions schedule that everybody's talking about.
I know.
The Lions 15-2. If they're bad, they're gonna win 12. They would have had this schedule. Anyhow, they finished 9-8 with the worst quarterback play they've had in the history of the franchise, right? Flores has had a top 7 defense 4 years in a row. And you have a major upgrade in Kyler Murray. If he can learn the playbook, this is O'Connell's last stand, Paul. This is year 5. He hasn't won a playoff game yet. The golden boy. They're going to move on from him. Kyler Murray's trying to play for a contract. I have to believe. This is what I did. I bet Vikings playoffs.
Yep.
Vikings playoffs plus 155.
Cosign. Good job. Over the win total as well.
I like that.
Are you going to get there with your White Sox division ticket?
I don't know. I could have. When I sat there 2 weeks ago and I said I'm more scared of the Tigers than anybody, but if they deal at the deadline, I'm still more scared of the Tigers than anybody. My friend was smart. He bet Tigers 3-1 to make the playoffs. You could still win both ways. I'm going to have to bet the Tigers. I have to. At 25-1, I have room to maneuver.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pull the trigger. Tigers might be leading the division by Sunday.
That's
two more
true.
With the Guardians, three with
Isn't
the White
something?
Sox. What a sickening loss for the White Sox last night. When you got your ace give you seven, a one run. That you cannot lose that game.
Moose asked me earlier, in light of the Lakers news, if you could own one pro sports team, who would it be?
Oh, that's a great question.
It was a great
question. Maybe what about college? Pastner says he's going to sell his basketball team. Anyhow, what a buffoon that guy is here that we got at UNLV. One pro sports franchise.
Cubs, Lakers, Knicks, Yankees.
Cubs would be the most fun. Probably the Cowboys would be the smartest move because of the national brand. Not Yankees. No, I have no interest in being associated there.
No interest.
There's my short list for you. Blackhawks are interesting too. You got nowhere to go but up if you bought the team right now. You can't do any worse, and you got Bedard locked up. Those are my top three.
Okay, we'll put the baby to bed with this. All this, you know, the three biggest stories the last 2 weeks have been because of what someone has said, a player, a coach, or what a politician has done and chimed in.
Yeah.
Does all this go away in the WNBA if they just hire a competent commissioner?
They could solve a lot of it. I said she because they will never hire a man, but you could solve a lot of it. You have to have somebody that just puts away the nonsense here. I mean, it's all just such nonsense. And I think if you have somebody strong running the league that said they won't tolerate all the nonsense, you would get the ownership in line, and you would get the players' union to try to come along too. But it's fun fodder too. You can't stop because the stories are so ludicrous. I mean, you clothesline somebody. How can you be shocked that you're getting thrown out of the game?
I mean, come on. Yeah. All right.
But the coach with the bench in front of it didn't see it, and she didn't look at a replay. But she went to reach out to her former player, Carrington, to make sure she was okay. Not her player. But she backs her team and then cussed everybody in the media out to tell them she backs her team. Why don't you ask the 12 girls at Vanderbilt that entered the transfer portal after Stephanie White was their head coach about how she backs her team?
All right. Very good, my friend. Strong stuff. The 28,000 in Circa Survivor. That was phenomenal.
Thanks, Mark. Always a pleasure talking to you.
How about a story that's getting underreported in Major League Baseball? What happened to this guy all of a sudden? Another fun show today. A lot going on. Great job by Mike Palm. Luke, our producer, is back tomorrow, and Pizzeria will be back on Tuesday. Corey filling in, doing an excellent job. Luke about ready to get on a, fingers crossed, get on a flight. You never know now. It's 50-50 today with the travel. So he went to have a cold one before he gets ready to take off and come back. And we're huge on Nesson. He's at the Bell in Hand Bar and Tavern, open since 1795. The oldest operating tavern in the United States, open since 1795. They got us on. There you go. There's Paulie and the Moose with Win Loose. Incredible they have us
there
on.
There you go.
Unbelievable. Thanks a lot. Open till.
I love it. That's closest, nice.
Yeah, closest 2 a.m. 45 Union Street, Boston, Massachusetts. Go have a cold one. And thanks for watching us and having us on. God bless the bartender and the staff. That's great.
Yeah, no doubt. Deserves all the tips in the world. 1795 it's been open since, Paul. That's insane. God.
Yeah, that is. That's
wonder
incredible.
How many beers they have on tap.
Yeah. Oh, man. Two things I want to mention in Major League Baseball before we get to your foot. And the horse is going to – the word's out on the horse, apparently. Ready to go?
Well, he's 9-2. Gum. Yeah, yeah, it's about 2 minutes to post. They're on the track right now. Inner turf course mile, ninth race, Saratoga. He was 9-2 on the morning line. He's now 2-1, Parimutuel wagering. So now he's the betting favorite. Well, listen, rather cash tickets than trash him. So hopefully Gum gets home the 5 and the 9th at Saratoga.
Well, last year I was ready to chill the champagne, and now I think I'm going to go in my pants because this is getting scary. It happened to Pryor. It happened to Wood. It happened to Strasburg. Paul Skeens was pulled after only 60-some pitches last night. And again, the velocity is down big time again. Kelly, the manager, says it wasn't injury-related. He threw 65 pitches. He took the loss. His outfielder helped him out and saved the two-run home runner. It could have been 4-0. A dip in the fastball velocity again, 65 pitches. He's 9-11. He fell to 3-4 in his last 9 starts. He's got an ERA of almost 6 during that stretch. What is going on here, Moose?
Yeah, I don't know. And each of those, you know, examples are kind of one's a little bit different than the other, right? Strasburg basically sacrificed the rest of his career to help the Nats go out there and win a World Series. You look at Pryor, there were concerns when he was drafted out of the USC about his, you know, about his mechanics, and he ended up breaking down. And Kerry Wood ended up, you know, lengthening out his career, but never, you know, obviously had a good career, no doubt about it. But, you know, he expected brilliance. When you look at Skeens here, I'm stunned. I mean, he is too young, you know, and he's not a wiry guy. It's not like he's got this whip motion or you think that there's going to be some significant drop off or anything like that. It is stunning to watch him work on the mound right now for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And if it's not injury, then why the dip in velocity? Why the lack of effectiveness? You want to say the league has gotten to him or the word is out? I mean, I don't know. It's lack of execution when he doesn't have the late life on the pitches that he's had in years gone by. It is stunning to see the drop off here. And maybe it is something. Maybe so. I have no idea. I can't explain it, Paulie. I'm surprised just like everybody else is in terms of the lack of effectiveness, what we've seen from Skeens.
Fourth worst pitcher this year, ROI. Fourth worst.
Crazy.
How bad he's been.
Yeah.
And how this season has been. For Skeens. I did not see that coming. And quickly, maybe he gets in the game today. We might see one of the best seasons ever for a relief pitcher and a closer. Mason Miller, he's 4-1. He's got 30 saves and 31 chances. His one blown save came when he entered in the 8th inning with the bases loaded and one out. He's got a 0.89 ERA, 16.5 strikeouts per 9. Batters are hitting 140 off him with 2 extra base hits, both doubles. If it's not the best season ever, it's hard to pick, but this is because we kicked around MVP stuff earlier in April because he was striking everybody out. He's had two bad outings performances the whole season, what this guy's doing. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think the greatest compliment you can get as a reliever in Major League Baseball is to be compared to the greatest of all time, Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
And listen, and that's it. I mean, he's on that kind of level. I've not, you know, he's been a guy that Cashman and the Yankees have been interested with for years. You give Preller a ton of credit from San Diego for paying the Kings ransom to go get him from the Athletics, and he's ridiculously good. There's no better reliever. There's nobody even close to what Mason Miller has been able to do this year for the San Diego Padres. And
I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think it's going to go out there and continue, Paulie. I really do. And so that's a massive weapon, shortens games, gives the Padres a massive advantage in every single game that they go into because they know what they have in the back end of the game should they have a lead.
Yes. Okay, so I went earlier. How about you throw a couple at us, a surprise or a disappointment in the upcoming NFL season?
Yeah, I'll give you one. How about the Buffalo Bills being favored to win the AFC East? You know, that's a surprise. I got to be perfectly honest with you because, you know, I've got questions. Number one is, and I have all due respect for Josh Allen. He's right there, top four quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, you have a new head coach in Joe Brady taking over for Sean McDermott. You've got a new defensive coordinator. You've got changes in that defensive secondary. Yes, they added DJ Moore. Yes, I love Cook as a running back. There's no question about that. But, you know, now you look at Buffalo and you mean to tell me a year ago they were the overwhelming favorite to win the division. Now all of a sudden I'm going to lean into the Buffalo Bills this year because they've got to show me before I actually believe the Buffalo Bills are going to go out there and do it. And then you look at the New England Patriots. And I understand there was a lot of drama this year in the offseason with Mike Vrabel. We don't have to get into that, but they're going to be a better offensive team with A.J. Brown. You expect A.J. Brown year one at the very least to be a happy camper up there in Foxborough. I don't think there's any doubt. They've got Drake May now going into year three. I'm surprised at the Buffalo Bills. And by the way, how exactly if you're Buffalo, you have all this money, right? You have all this money to build a new stadium.
Yeah.
How exactly do you design a new stadium to where there are seats where, you know, it's partial viewing? How is that possible in today's day and age, Paulie? How is that humanly possible? How do you have scoreboards that people can't see properly? Like, it makes little to no sense.
Amen, brother. That's a debacle. No doubt about it. I felt so bad for him in the playoff loss after he broke down and cried because he's the reason he lost the game, Allen. Because finally, you don't have to face Mahomes because he'd been Superman in all those games, but the defense couldn't get a stop or someone would let him down with a drop. And then I know Jacksonville should have beat him, but then he's the reason they lost the game against Denver. And this was the year they were going to do it. And now they still I felt bad for him. Do you have a surprise?
Yeah. By the way, winner.
There you go.
A winner at Saratoga.
Good job. Good.
There we go. 2-1. We'll take it. Cash the trend. 5-5. We picked the winner. Tracked the 7 down in the stretch last 16th of a mile. So we threw out a winner here.
Good job.
Follow the money. I'll give you another one that's a little bit of a surprise. I'll tell you. And let's go to the NFC North. The Detroit Lions, to be honest with you, are favored to win that division. Somebody's got to tell me about the Lions in terms of, are they going to exactly stop anybody this year?
Yeah.
I mean, I get they have a more favorable schedule, but outside of Hutchinson, who exactly do you trust on that team defensively here? Offensively, they're going to be good. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. Love Goff. I like the fact that Dan Campbell's not going to be calling plays this year. Love the messaging from Dan Campbell. Tremendous leader. There's no question about that, but you mean to tell me in a wide-open NFC North, and Paulie, we've talked about the Vikings, we've talked about the Bears, we've talked about the Packers, in a wide-open NFC North, you mean to tell me right now the Detroit Lions, where I have massive questions about exactly who they're going to stop defensively, are the favorites to win that division? To me, that's surprising.
A lot of people buying the hype, and the schedule-related, you're right, but it was bad. That last 2 years, the injury bug has got them bad, especially on defense. But that is an intriguing division, and I love what Paul Allen said yesterday on the morning show, that all four teams can win this division. And that's a strong division, no doubt about it. I mean, just look at Minnesota, 5-1 as well.
I get the concern.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, I get the concern in Minnesota. Nobody wants to believe in Kyler Murray. You know, I get it based on what we saw in Arizona, and I understand that. But like we mentioned yesterday, Paulie, the thing is, he does not have a big hurdle to clear. He really doesn't. Like, based on the quarterback play the Vikings had a year ago, 18 touchdowns, 21 interceptions combined between four different individuals, I think Kyler Murray can be better than that if he stays healthy and he stays on the field.
Yes. 6 games tomorrow in the NFL. Some of the best betting opportunities start with the preseason. The Mackin and trends are phenomenal. Humans with the depth chart. Remember, week one last year, the preseason, the games averaged 45 points a game. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get our NFL college football betting guides, team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from every host and every guest, the daily betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, MLB player props, total picks, and the 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today, just $9.99. or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. VSiN.com/subscribe now to college football. Up next, the number one college guy, Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, coming up, his thoughts on the upcoming season, and you won't believe what he thinks could happen in Miami.